Today on the Travel Guide.
In the travel news, U.S. Airways says that you can't fly with your junk hanging out.
At 2:18, our buddy Ben Schlappig is here to update frequent flyers on the merger of Continental and United Airlines.
And at the bottom of the hour, Becky Rep is here to tell us about American Road Magazine and their feature story on America's drive-in theaters.
Want to be a flight attendant? At 2:40, we'll hear from a man who runs an online program that will allow you to size up your possibilities.
And finally, our entertainment segment at 2:50 features the popular comedy now playing at the Cosmopolitan Theater, Defending the Caveman.
All that, and we teach you how to light a fire with a rock, today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Welcome, everyone, to a Father's Day Sunday, News Talk 1530 KFBK. It's the Travel and Entertainment Guys. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations, and a happy Father's Day, all you dads tuned in out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Happy Father's Day to everyone. Hope you're out enjoying the weather, whether you're out, maybe you're out on the water, out on Folsom Lake or something like that.
It's sitting in the backyard getting ready for that dad's barbecue.
Yeah, in your California backyard outdoor.
There you go.
How's that for a cheap plug for a friend of the program? Huh?
Absolutely. Well, we've got a great show ahead of us, and we always start the program off by informing you and bringing you up to date on all the stuff that's gone on in the travel news. And with that, here's our theme song. The Mark Hoffman Quartet in the background as Mark brings us up to date with the travel news.
U.S. Airlines collected $5.7 billion in bag and change fees last year. That's billion with a B. Baggage fees were the top source of fee-based revenue for the airlines, netting the 20 biggest U.S. carriers a collective $3.4 billion in 2010, according to numbers out Monday from the Federal Bureau of Transportation Statistics. Those same top 20 airlines posted a combined $2.6 billion in profits for the year. Do the math. Without the bag fees, there is no profit. Airlines also collected a hefty total from flyers who needed to change their travel plans. All told, the 20 biggest U.S. airlines took in over $2 billion, again with a B, in revenue stemming from change of ticket and cancellation fees. The bag fee figures were up substantially over the full year 2009, jumping 24%. Change fee revenue declined by just over 1%.
They're taking the lead of entertainment venues and movie theaters where the price of the movie doesn't have anything to do with the profit. It's the popcorn and the candy and the sodas. And
absolutely.
The beer.
You got an airline analyst with Standard & Poor's told the Associated Press if it weren't for the fees, the airlines would most likely be losing money. What a great mathematician he is.
I'm surprised that they just didn't start charging you for that pillow they no longer give you.
That they no longer give you, yes. Another perk for airlines, none of those fees are subject to taxes. AP reports.
Wow.
The America on the Hudson flight has arrived at its destination in Charlotte after a 876-day delay. The U.S. Airways jet that made the now famous Miracle Splash landing on the Hudson River in January of 2009 has finally made it to its final destination from that day of Charlotte. That's where the fuselage from the Airbus A320 will go on permanent display at the Carolinas Aviation Museum. The Charlotte Observer writes U.S. Airways Flight 1549 arrived at the museum last Friday, making it to its original destination of Charlotte after an 876-day delay. During the jet's journey, the Observer says thousands watched and cheered from roadsides, bridges, hillsides along Interstate 77 and then Interstate 85 as the plane's 120-foot-long fuselage was trailered to its final resting spot at the Carolinas Carolinas Aviation Center near the airport. The Associated Press says the jet made the 600-mile journey on a flatbed truck from Newark, New Jersey, where it spent the last 2 years in a hangar. The wings from the damaged Airbus 320 were removed and shipped earlier to the Aviation Museum.
Great story. Going to be a great thing for people to go and see and remember a miracle.
Yeah, I mean, really and truly. A man who, that's the man you wanted piloting your airplane that day.
And I'm sure his picture will be prominently displayed.
In less important news, San Francisco police say a University of New Mexico football player's saggy pants led to his arrest at San Francisco International Airport. Sergeant Michael Rodriguez says 20-year-old Deshaun Marmon was boarding a flight Wednesday to Albuquerque, New Mexico, when a U.S. Airways employee noticed his pants were, quote, below his buttocks but above the knees, and his boxer shorts were showing. Rodriguez tells the San Francisco Chronicle that the employee asked Marmon to pull up his pants, but he refused. She then asked him to leave the plane. The officer says that after 15 minutes, Marmon got off the plane and was cited for trespassing. Marmon's mother, Donna Doyle, tells the paper that her son had attended a friend's funeral and was still in an emotionally raw state. U.S. Airways spokesperson says the airline's dress code forbids indecent exposure or inappropriate air attire.
He was just going downtown with his pants on.
All I have to say is good for U.S. Airways. Citing changing passenger preferences, Carnival Cruise Lines, Holland America, and Princess Cruises have announced more restrictive smoking policies. Each of the cruise lines has indicated that there will be designated areas for those who wish to smoke. Smoking policies will vary between cruise lines. All of them said the overwhelming majority of their traveling clients opted in favor of the new restrictions. So just remember, Mr. Romano, if you go flying, you've got to wear your pants. Now they can't be below your buttocks and above your knees or whatever it was there.
You know, the kids still do that. I don't see too many grown-ups, but kids are still wearing their pants on the ground, their hats turned sideways.
Last weekend on this program, we had a very wonderful lady, Stephanie Lee, who is playing Mary Poppins in Sacramento. In fact, she's on stage for the last time as we speak here right now. And I have to tell you that on Thursday evening, I had the opportunity to go and see the show. And Tom, she did us proud. You know how Mary Poppins like she sounded in our interview with her last week.
Yes,
absolutely in character on the stage, spit spot in every way. And Mary, of course, flew out, made her exit by flying over
really?
The audience.
Yeah.
Yes, even in Sacramento. And I have to. There were lots and lots of children there, and lots of people who probably felt like kids. And I was certainly one of them. I can never remember going to a show in Sacramento where people were so happy. At intermission, after the show, smiles, just everywhere. Just there was an energy. You know how when you go to the theater and you see a really good show and you just feel wonderful, you feel reflective or excited or whatever it is when you come out of the theater, and that's what it felt like Thursday night.
Was it just that it was Mary Poppins, Mark, and I know how much you love that play, that musical, or was it the way it was performed?
Well, I'll tell you,
I
have seen it a few times, saw it in New York. Obviously, the national tour is a little bit slimlined, a little bit streamed down in terms of sets and stuff, but for a touring show, it was extremely good. My only comment would be those damn acoustics in the community center. The whole first act, there was something wrong, and it was the bass was too high, and they fixed it at intermission. Somebody obviously caught on to it, and they were able to correct it, and it was better. But that cavern, and I don't mean this as a shot at anybody. It's just not a great place to see a show. It's the only place we have, so we'll put up with it for now. But anyway, enough of that. It was a terrific show. Stephanie was just... I mean, she was Mary Poppins, like you just can't believe. Show was terrifically cast. Everybody was just, it was a wonderful evening of theater, and it was great to see so many people out enjoying themselves going to a cultural event, because it's been tough in the city for cultural arts groups to get people to come. And here was something that, a three-week run, and there were just a very few seats empty in the back of the theater. Wonderful show. So.
Wonderful. I can tell by the beam on your face. Folks, if you could see it, you'd know what I'm talking about. Mark loved the show. Unfortunately, it's a moot point because today is the last run.
Is the last run. But it'll come to San Francisco at some point, and there'll be other opportunities. So if you didn't get to see it, and even if you did, you'll want to go see it again, Mary Poppins. Congratulations to California Musical Theater and to Richard Lewis and to our friends, Stephanie Lee, who did us proud on the stage.
This is the Travel and Entertainment Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and we're going to take a little mini break in about 2 minutes. We'll be back with the Sports Leisure Traveler Update with Mark Hoffman here on KFBK.
Here is your Sports Leisure Traveler Update for the week of June 19th. If you're interested in becoming a part of Sacramento's largest travel family, complimentary six-month travel club memberships are available. Mature and single travelers will find themselves among friends. Go to www.sportsleisure.com or call the Sports Leisure office Monday at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687. Our Chicago Sports Weekend, which includes both a Cubs baseball and a Notre Dame football game and is hosted by KFBK's Kelly Brothers, is nearly sold out. If you're interested in this four-day package over Labor Day weekend, I strongly suggest you contact our office as soon as possible. Kelly is a Notre Dame grad, and it promises to be a fun-filled weekend in and around the Windy City. Sports Leisure Vacations is pleased to announce our new package tour to Costa Rica, departing February the 20th of next year. The tour features national parks and the spectacular scenery of Costa Rica and is escorted by an experienced tour director. Information is available by calling the Sports Leisure office. The itinerary will be available online after July the 1st. If you've visited Hawaii and always wanted to return and see the things you've missed, join me for The Real Hawaii, departing in late October. This 10-day three-island vacation is filled with lots of off-the-beaten track activities and attractions, plus a tour of the childhood neighborhood of President Obama and a visit to Shangri-La, the home of the late Doris Duke. Seahorses, a Hawaiian vanilla farm, the history of the islands, it's all on this most unique trip, limited to just 20 travelers. Go to sportsleisure.com for details and join me in paradise this fall. And finally, our lucky Travel Club listeners today are Rita Hull and Margaret Voris. Rita Hull and Margaret Voris, V-O-R-I-S. If you are listening today or a friend is listening who will let you know they heard your name, you call our office before the end of business Tuesday, you can claim $100 in tour cash. And that is your Sports Leisure Traveler Update for Sunday, June the 19th. Welcome back to the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman right here, along with famous FM radio star Tom Romano.
Thank you very much.
And our next guest here on the Travel Guys this afternoon is Ben Schlopik. Ben has been with us a number of times before. Ben is not only a very excellent blogger, but Ben is also our expert at beating the system. Good afternoon, Ben from Tampa.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Hey.
And when you want to know anything about flying, flying a lot, he's the man in the know.
You think so? And if you know what, we should get this up front. If you if you're looking for a frequent flyer ticket and you're having a hard time getting it, that is Ben's business now that he's out of school. We're trying to help him make a buck here. So just go to travelguysradio.com, and you'll see the link to Ben's website, and Ben will help you for a small fee get you an airline ticket just about any place you want to go. Is that a good description, Ben?
That's about right, hopefully. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Everybody's trying to make a buck in this business. So, Ben, you wrote a column recently on Travel Sort, which is where some of your columns are found, about the United and Continental airline merger, which is probably to a lot of our listeners, they say, well, you know, two airlines are merging, what's the big deal? But to people in Sacramento who have been, we have a lot of United flyers here because we've had a lot of long-distance lift with United, more so than perhaps any other carrier over the years. So we've got a lot of – there are a lot more elite flyers, a lot more frequent flyers, I would say, for United than any other carrier. So this is going to have a little bit of an impact on those folks who fly for United. And Ben, obviously, you've taken a look at this. What do you see so far for United and Continental customers as these two airlines become one?
Yeah, I mean, so far I think overall the onboard product has been sufficiently degraded. I think they've taken the worst of both worlds, of both Continental and United. I mean, for example, you know, they're getting rid of pillows even in first class now.
Yeah, and they have these little blankets, that these things that Continental apparently called blankets. I think they are oversized
washcloths.
Washcloth. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom.
You know, but they actually eliminated those as well now. So
now is that a
they're in the process of doing that as well. So, you know, it goes from a nice blanket to a washcloth as a fair description to nothing.
So bring your jacket like you do on Southwest so you can wear it in case the plane is too cold.
Exactly. And unfortunately, that's the case. I mean, I think the only good news so far is that on the frequent flyer front, there's definitely quite a few benefits with the integration. So you can now freely transfer miles between Continental and United accounts, meaning if I have a Continental account, I can transfer my miles to United and vice versa up to 200,000 miles a day. You can link your accounts now so that at the end of the year, basically, the miles you earn, the elite qualifying miles towards status, those will be combined for your year-end total. So your new status for next year will be based off of the combined total of this year.
So if you're trying to become to attain premier status by flying 25,000 miles in a year, and if you fly 15,000 miles with United this year and 10,000 with Continental, you will have made it.
That's exactly right, and the same goes for if you fly 50,000 miles on each airline. You would otherwise have the middle tier status on both, but at the end of the year, you will have top tier status. So that's good news.
So there is some good news in all of this. Now on United, the Economy Plus seating has been United's baby. They've hung their hat on that. And for those people who don't fly United, aren't familiar with it, basically they took a couple rows out of the aircraft and allowed for a little bit of extra leg room in the front part of the economy cabin, and they call it Economy Plus. That is where their elite travelers get to go to, and it's become quite popular. United has announced that will carry over to, is going to be instituted on all of the Continental airplanes.
Absolutely. I think, though, it's worth keeping in mind there's a bit of an asterisk there because I'm sure it will come at the expense of some first-class seats. They can't afford to have a huge Economy Plus cabin and a huge first-class cabin, so I wouldn't be surprised if on the Continental plane they start by, eliminating a row or two of first class.
Because traditionally the Continental planes have a little bit more first class seating than the United planes do.
Exactly. So their 737s have 20 first class seats often, while United's Airbus 319 and 320 aircraft, which are comparable, they have 8 to 12 seats. So I think it's fair to say that upgrade percentages will go down on Continental a bit, but at least when you're stuck in coach, you'll be a bit more comfortable if you're an elite member.
Yeah. It's like most of the airline news, kind of good news, bad news. Ben, you're a man who plays the bumping game and always looking for the way to get to be able to get more out of the airline than the value of your ticket. The rules changed a month or so ago. Last time we talked to you, they had just changed. Has that impacted the way that you play the airline game?
It's definitely getting tougher because especially with consolidation, the fares aren't as good anymore, and they keep closing loopholes with, routing rules and everything so that if I want to fly from Tampa to San Francisco, I actually have to go fairly direct now as opposed to making several connections for extra miles. So it's definitely getting tougher, so I'm just having to be more creative right now.
I have to ask both of you. I saw this on TV the other day, and it really caught my attention. It was a way to save money on airline tickets by booking a destination that's not necessarily where you want to go, but it's at a cheaper rate than the destination where you're headed, but the destination you really want to go is a stop-off, okay? It's a, what's the term, Mark?
Are you going to get off at that second, at that middle city?
Yes,
you're not going to go all the way to your destination?
You are getting off at the stop-off.
You're talking about what's referred to as a hidden city ticket. And where you're actually, it's cheaper to fly through city B to city C than it is to fly straight from A to C.
Is there any truth in that?
Well, there is, but it's that also is going away. As Ben talks about, they're tightening up the loopholes. For a number of years, if you did that, it only works on one-way tickets, because as soon as you don't fly a segment, then the airline cancels the rest of your ticket. Go ahead, Ben.
Right. So just to explain the background on that, for example, if you're flying from, if you want to fly from Sacramento to Los Angeles, often that ticket will be more expensive than if you booked a ticket from Sacramento to Los Angeles to Washington Dulles in D.C. So as illogical as it is, that's airline pricing. So in the past, it was relatively easy. In theory, I suppose the airline could try to charge you the fare difference. But in practice, the thing to keep in mind is that if you check a bag, you can't get off in the intermediate city because your bag will still go to your destination. But generally speaking, the issue is your subsequent segments would be canceled. So that works for a one-way ticket, but
works for a one-way ticket if you have no checked luggage. And
forgot about that part.
Yeah, exactly. You see, so the airlines have, and if you're playing Ben's game and you're trying to get bumped and stuff like that, then you also have to be a man with it. It helps considerably to be able to be self-contained. If you're not, if you, am I correct, Ben? If you can go up and tell that person at the counter that, hey, I have no checked bags, I'm very easy to bump.
Absolutely. That's part of what I do every time. So, the easier you are to deal with, the better your chance of being bumped.
That's Ben over in the corner with the sign that says, cast me aside. seat for sale. Ben, have you had any experience? You haven't had any experience with this Delta thing yet where they ask you what you're willing to take for your seat up front?
I have not. I've read a lot about it, though, that you know, when they want to bump people and they ask what you're willing to bid, I still, my understanding is still that they give you the highest amount that they pay anybody when they bump people. So if they need five volunteers, whatever it costs to buy that fifth seat is what they'll pay everybody.
Well, I have a group on Delta in a couple weeks, and I'm flying on Frontier this week, so I'll spread around the joy a little bit. I'll get an update and find and report back. Now, you're in the process of kind of switching your frequent flyer loyalties from United to American?
Yeah, I just achieved top-tier status with American, so I've been very pleased with them, and I think a lot of unhappy United flyers are doing the same. For me, it was more of a function that I was flying over 200,000 miles a year on United, and the marginal benefits really go down after the first 100,000 miles, which is their top-tier status. So I figured I'd spread the love a little bit, and I've been very happy with American. They have cleared every upgrade, and you know, service is very good, and I'm happy with them.
You're listening to The Travel Guys, and our guest is Ben Schlappig, who travels how many hundreds of thousands of miles a year average, Ben?
I think about 300,000 right now is the average.
And a lot of times you indicated that you don't necessarily fly with a lot of luggage or practically none. Now, we have a guy by the name of John Holloway who has a company called Holloway Travel, yeah, but he specializes in being able to, you know, condense it down. What's your secret?
I think just only take what you actually need. I think people have a tendency to overpack. You assume, you know, the worst for everything, that, oh, what if there's rain? What if there's snow? What if it's cold? What if it's warm? I think, you know, 90% of the time people come home with over half of their luggage not being touched during the trip.
Yeah. So. It's kind of like in the movie Spaceballs. Take only what you need to survive.
My goal when I go on the road, Tom, is to use every single thing that's in my suitcase. I figure I have packed correctly. If I come home and the only thing that's left over was the extra pair of underwear and the extra pair of socks in case I, you know, got laid over someplace I hadn't planned on. Ben, before we let you go here, share one travel secret. Share something that's come up this summer, some secret that you found, something that brought joy to your life, even if it's a geeky travel geeky thing, it's okay.
That's a toughie. It's wow.
Where do we begin? Huh?
Where do we begin?
I am completely mystified. Let me think here.
You just went to Sri Lanka.
Yeah. What I'll say is, this is just something which I never realized how great it was. I just flew the Airbus 380, which is the full double-decker plane.
Okay.
And I was never all that excited about flying it simply because I didn't think it was that different. But it really is a completely different flying experience. So if you get the chance to fly the Airbus 380, do. I think the coolest feature was they have a sky camera. So it's mounted on the tail, so there's a camera of the whole plane. And you can see on your in-flight entertainment basically what the plane looks like from the outside. And I just think it's the coolest thing in the world.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, but you could always go outside with your camera and take the picture.
But not when you're flying at 500 miles an hour.
Ben, thank you for your time, buddy. It's always an education to talk to you. Fly safe, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks again for having me.
All right. Ben Schlappig, our ace blogger. You can go to travelguysradio.com. Ben, for a living, helps folks find those elusive frequent flyer tickets that you can't seem to find. So for a small fee, go to travelguysradio.com. And if you thought Ben was an interesting interview, why, then you'll find him an interesting person to do business with also. We are the Travel Guys. You're listening to News Talk 1530 KFBK.
This is Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman of Sports Leisure Vacations, and you're in tune with the Travel Guys radio program here on KFBK. A few weeks back, we had an airline pilot on, and today we're lucky enough to have a second one. And this guy is extra special. And, Mark, tell us why.
Joe Bellotti is our guest today. And Joe is a gentleman who runs a website, airlinecareer.com. Don't worry about remembering that. We'll have it on the Travel Guys radio site for you. But Joe is here to tell us today, for those of you who are aspiring flight attendants, would like to know more about how to get into that business, Joe is here to kind of show and tell us a little bit about how that all works. Good afternoon, Joe.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Tom.
For years, we have been reading of airlines cutting back on service and the like, and then that kind of rolled back and turned the other way a couple of years ago, and you know, now it's kind of mixed stories. Are airlines hiring flight attendants? Are there still attendants that were furloughed after 9/11 somewhere along the way that are still looking to get rehired? How is that all working out?
Of course, right after 9/11, everything was cut back. A few airlines went bankrupt, and there were massive employment cuts, not just flight attendants, but across the board. Today, we're getting back. This business is very cyclical, and we're getting back to where we were in the pre-9/11 days. We monitor 52 airlines on our site, and of those, 38 are either in the hiring status or are accepting applications. And it's getting pretty intense. There's a lot of hiring going on.
Now, your flight attendant online program, Joe, what is it really meant to accomplish? I'm sure that it doesn't have all certification necessary. Explain what kind of certification and training and knowledge someone would get in your online program.
The program itself is made up of modules. The first module is called the Evaluation Center. The Evaluation Center you would work through, and it would actually teach you or tell you how to decide if a flight attendant career is for you, how much you'll earn, how much you'll work, how to find out which airlines are hiring, how to pick the airline that's right for you, how to write a resume, and then if you, in fact, want to go forward from there, you go into the Application Center, and you've determined, okay, yeah, I do want to do this. Now we teach you how to interview, how to dress for the interview, how to land the job. Then the Training Center is a series of distance learning modules, interactive, where you're actually tested on a lot of the material you're going to be getting in new hire training. And this certification, I do want to make this point, this certification is not a replacement for the certification you'll receive, the government certification from the airline that hires you. You still have to go through that. But our certification is merely gives you some familiarity with the courses you're going to be getting in new hire training, exposes you to those, and also helps you on your resume to, put that on, it's a feather in your cap to say that you actually took those courses. Because there's one thing you have to remember, in new hire training, the washout rate is very high, and a lot of that is because nobody's ever seen the material before once they get there.
Our guest on the Travel Guys today is Joe Bellotti. Joe runs a airline career, a website where you can take the first steps towards becoming a flight attendant. Joe, what type of person is becoming a flight attendant these days? I mean, I fly a lot. I seem to see not only veteran flight attendants who obviously are a little bit older because they've worked for the airline a while, but I seem to see new hires of all ages. Is that a correct observation?
That's becoming a trend. If you look back in the old days, the original, back in 1930, the first flight attendant was hired. Her name was Ellen Church with United Airlines. The original flight attendants had to be single, registered nurses, and if they got married, pregnant, or gained any weight, they were instantly terminated. So that's all changed now. We have a lot of people. They're actually hiring a lot of older people, retired people. They're looking for first-time job seekers. Empty nesters seeking a challenge, maybe, former flight attendants. I mean, there's all types. And I'll just give you a little breakdown. 70% are female, 30% are male. Average age is 25 to 35, although they do hire a lot older than that. And 50% are married, and about one-third have a college degree, although only a high school diploma is required.
Joe, let me interrupt and ask you, what's the upside? What makes this such a desirable profession? Now, I know in the old days, quote, old days of flying, back when you started piloting in an aircraft, flying was glamorous. Flying is now more a form of transportation than it is a show of wealth or something of that type. And so the flight attendants are different than the stewardesses of yesterday, yes?
Oh, absolutely. And it takes a certain type of individual that wants to do this job. I mentioned earlier that we have an evaluation center. We've had a lot of people actually sign up for a program and thank us because they read that evaluation center and said, wait a minute, this isn't for me. I don't want to do this. Thanks for saving me time and money. So they are definitely a different breed today. But you asked me, what's the upside? The thing is, you still have a great deal of time off. I mean, you still only work 13, you have generally 13 to 17 days off per month, roughly 6 months off per year. You get the free travel benefits, a lot of people like that. And you don't, if you don't want to sit in the cube from 9 to 5, I mean, you have a great deal of flexibility. You can build your own schedule. You can have 10 days off in a row every month if you want to. You can live where you want to. You can commute across the country. We have people that live in L.A. and fly out of New York. I mean, the flexibility is tremendous, and they don't bring their work home. Once they get home, then the flight is over. There's no briefcase. There's no nothing. I mean, that's that's one of the big upsides to this job, and independence and responsibility.
Our guest today on the Travel Guys has been Joe Bilotti. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, there will be a link there to Joe's website. And if you are interested in just finding, if you've always thought, gee, you know, flight attendant, that's something I would really like to do, this is the place to get started. I will suggest to you that you can go here, find a lot of information, and if you want more information, then you can dig into this website, become a part of Joe's program, and find out if being a flight attendant is truly something that you are cut out for.
I think that, you know, I think I found what I want to do when I retire here in a few years.
You
Joe?
Think?
I'm going to go well, on. I'm going on in a little while here, and I'm going to do the pre-qualification test and see how I do.
All right.
You go ahead.
They had a recent class of 100 new hires at a major airline, and 7 people were between the ages of 40 and 49, 5 were between 50 and 59, and 1 was over 60. So there you go.
There you go.
Well, there's an opening there for you, Tom. We won't divulge in which group, but there's an opening
thank
for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe, for your time today. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Safe flying, Joe. Joe Bilotti from AirlineCareer.com. You can go to Travel Guys Radio, and we'll have all the information for Joe's website right there. We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Hi there, Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. This is the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio program every Sunday, 2 to 3. Time to slip into the entertainment portion of our program, and my special guest today is Cody Lyman, current star of Defending the Caveman at the Cosmopolitan Cabaret. Welcome to the program, Cody, and how did you end up being the caveman?
Well, I had a sign out front, we'll act for food. And I came to Defending the Caveman. I was cast out of Chicago by Rob Becker, the guy that wrote it. And I've been performing it now for the past 7 years all around the country. And I'm thrilled to be here in Sacramento. It's my first time, so looking forward to it.
It's a one-man show.
That's right.
About 2 hours.
Yeah.
And one act.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you keep it fresh?
Well, I just make it up every day. You know, I just sort of see what works and roll with it. No, it's pretty, you know, this show, it's been around for a while, since the dawn of time, some would say. But it's all about men, women, how we're different, and how sometimes, believe it or not, those differences can lead to misunderstandings.
Now, based on, you know, all these shows that you've done, couples come.
Couples and singles. My thing is, I say the only prerequisite you have to enjoy the show is to have loved someone enough to have been frustrated by them at some point.
All right. Do you have any singles that show up to the show?
Yeah, we sure do. We sure do.
Do you make fun of them?
In my head, I do. Yeah. But not during the show.
No making fun of the audience?
No. It's a very conversational show. There's interaction, but there's not individual calling out.
Difference between men and women, right?
That's it.
What else?
Well, you know, I've noticed, generally speaking, if a woman does something that a man doesn't understand, you know, we might not get it, but we tend to be okay with it. You know, we tend to think they're mysterious. Whereas if a man does something that a woman doesn't understand, they just think that we're wrong. This show's about how we're not wrong, we're just different, and we've evolved with these differences since prehistoric times. You know, men, prehistorically speaking, men were hunters, women were gatherers, and you still see a lot of those same traits today. You know, hunters, when they would go out, they learned to bond through the hunt, not a lot of conversation. Gatherers would go out, and they would want to conversate a lot, make a lot of noise to scare off any dangerous animals out there. And that's something you can still see today. I've noticed, you know, women can call each other up on the phone just to talk. Mm-hmm. If a guy calls me just to talk, I owe him money.
Ain't that the truth? Now, what about, how does the caveman clean?
Housework. Housework is rough, isn't it?
Yes.
It's rough for two main reasons. Number one, for me, it's new. And number two, I've noticed that even if a guy does housework, automatically, it's not good enough. I've come up with some time-saving things. My microwave gets crusty from time to time, so I like to throw a bar of soap in there, set it on high for 5 minutes, and walk away. Job, come back an hour later, job's done.
I'm with Cody Lyman, who is the defending the caveman star at the Cosmopolitan Cabaret. If you got a gal, definitely is a show that you want to see together. Cody, tell me, what makes a great theater? You've played all kinds of different venues. In your mind, what is a great theater?
It's, obviously, a great theater. A theater is great only by who populates it. You know, the audiences tend to be great. There are some great houses to play. I love the old theaters, the old Paramounts and Pantages. But those are more rare to play these days. So for me, I mean, the mark of a really good time in a city are the people that come out and see the show. So I'm hoping to see a lot of people come out for this one.
Well, the Cosmopolitan, it's very intimate. It's a great place to see any kind of a show. You're really close to the action, and it's good too that you don't make fun of the audience, because they're right there. You can reach out and touch them.
You know, and I'm really looking forward to that intimate space. People really really attach themselves to the show. A lot of people feel like I'm telling their story. I was just doing this in Rochester for the past 5 weeks, Rochester, New York, and I had a woman came up to me after the show. It was really cool. She said, "Thank you. After watching the show tonight, it reminded me why I fell in love with my husband in the first place." And that was one of those marks that said, you know, this was a good run. This
all
is
right.
Going on.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing. Remember now, that's Cody Lyman, and it's at the Cosmopolitan Cabaret running through September. There's going to be several different cavemen playing Mark, and so if you want to see Cody, you're going to have to go to the show.
I just have to say, I think
soon.
It's a show that the travel guys really should go down and be a part of. I mean, maybe we should pick a day and go down and have a theater day. You know, like a Saturday matinee or something like that, and defending the caveman. Anybody who wants to come with the travel guys, it can be kind of an informal afternoon.
There you go. We're kind of the cavemen.
Yeah, we're kind. Well, we're in it. It's kind of a man cave in here. You know, I mean, it's don't tell Aaron though that we we said that. All right. Next weekend on the Travel Guys. Hope you've enjoyed the show today. Next weekend on the Travel Guys, I am headed out on the famous Lincoln Highway, and we will be back with some traveler reactions. We'll also have our consumer reporter Ed Perkins. Will be joining us next week, and maybe some phone calls from you. We have a new promotion in which we're going to be giving away a gas card every week that will start next week.
Really? A gas card?
A gas card?
Of course, I should have figured now that the price of gas is going down.
Couldn't use anything like that anything. How's everything over on the FM?
Over at Classic 93.1, we gave away tickets to see the Beach Boys up at Thunder Valley all week long. Gave away tickets to see that new movie, Super 8. By the way, it's if you're a Steven Spielberg, J.J. Abrams fan, and you enjoyed things like E.T. and those kind of films, maybe you're a Lost fan from television. J.J. Abrams was the producer of that. It's a great movie. I'll tell you, since E.T., I don't think I've seen a film I liked and captured my attention as much.
Really, really. Well, congratulations to California Music Theater. As we mentioned, a successful run of Mary Poppins closes today. Music Circus will open in town in a couple of weeks. Not just Music Circus and the big shows. Go out and see a show. Go see a high school play or a community theater someplace, or support a community event. Boy, Lord knows they can all use the help right now. We are the Travel Guys. We will be back next Sunday. And remember, an hour a week is all we ask. See you next week.